All right, Monday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Lots to talk about tonight. The world is in fuego, as we know. UK is on fire. Middle East is on fire. Stock markets are on fire. This is a good Biden. The Biden administration is fantastic, aren't they? UK is on fire. Middle East on fire. Wars. Biden inflation. All the markets are on fire. Worst economy since 2020 without a pandemic. great job. Aaron was talking about this right before the podcast. They can no longer claim anything about the 2020 economy was solely because of the pandemic that they unleashed upon the world that crashed all that. And by the way, once again, the pandemic had nothing to do with markets crashing. It was the absolute ridiculous response to a 99.9% survivable virus, yep, which was all planned. But just pretending for just a moment that it was a real crisis, they can no longer hearken back to that and say, look how bad it was under Trump in 2020. You can no longer do that. And by the way, it's not just the markets crashing. If you actually look at employment numbers and all the actual real economic indicators, our economy is a disaster. It's amazing, too, because I'm always trolling on, I don't know if it's trolling, but I mean, because I don't usually talk to everybody, whatever it is. I'm always looking at Twitter, reading both sides. You know, yeah. I'm reading both leftist sites and conservative sites, getting the material for the podcast, all those different things. It's amazing to me how a leftard, now I know a lot of them are paid propagandists like the Krasensteins and people like that. They're getting paid to do that, Harry Sisson, people like that. I understand that. But there are actually, if you look at the people that respond, I mean, you never know, again, if it's a bot or whatever, you know, the person may be.
Yeah.
Could be another pundit. Could be another paid person. Because, I mean, we didn't catch them. Other people caught them. We exposed it along with those people. There, I mean, the Democratic Party, Kamala Harris is paying for everybody to support her. I mean, if you're going out, I mean, I'm not kidding you. Like, nobody pays me to support Donald Trump. I support Trump because I love Trump. But Kamala Harris is paying people like $150 a post, $150 an account. And just a couple things off the pregame. First of all, these are the people that are in charge. I mean, again, and I know I talk about this a lot, and Aaron knows where I'm going with this. That's why he's already laughing. These are the people that are in charge. They're the people that tell you to mask, buy electric vehicles, shut down your businesses, you know, abort your babies, whatever it may be. These are the people in charge. And Kamala Harris thinks that the cloud is in the sky. I mean, seriously. I mean, she did. She's like, this is the quote. You're like, Tom, you're misconstruing words. I'm not misconstruing her words. First of all, she pointed to the air and she said, the cloud up there is where you keep, where all of your, you know, your
data,
is stored and all that. Thank you, Aaron.
Yeah.
But anyway, so it's like all your, you know, computer data, all your online data, your social media data somehow is stored up in a cloud. And she points up into the air. And again, you're like, well, she just meant that symbolically. No, because she said that it doesn't physically exist. The cloud doesn't physically exist. I mean, the cloud is, as Aaron told me, is a giant server.
Yeah, it's a server farm.
We have them here at the church. That's what Black Robe TV is.
Yep.
So, I mean, we have our own servers here at the church. Thousands upon tens of thousands of dollars worth of computer equipment. Believe me, it's physical. But she honestly believes that it doesn't exist, that your data, once it's in a cloud that's in the air floating around, no longer exists. And here's the other thing. So we have, I mean, this is the biggest one-day NASDAQ crash in history.
Yeah.
Just so everybody knows, 1,000 points. It's never happened before. So we have a financial collapse. The reason why we have a financial collapse is because of the printing of the USD.
Yep.
That's why we have a financial collapse. Everything that has been going on Main Street is now happening on Wall Street. That's what's happened. Now, money and the devaluing of the de-dollarization of the USD is now catching up with Wall Street because you have a Fed that prints its own money that it buys from itself. That's where, because you buy cash via U.S. bonds. So the Fed prints the money, then buys the bonds of the printed money that they printed. I mean, and you're like, Tom, that doesn't make it. I know, because it's all a fake bubble that could pop. I don't know how it'll pop, but you can rest assured of one thing. It won't pop to the place where it affects Bill Gates.
Right.
Or any of these other people. So, you know, you may not even have popped to the place where it affects you, depending on how much you have invested or whatever it may be, or what you're invested in. So you have this economic market collapse. I'm talking about one of the biggest crashes in history. Worst economy now since 2020. Worst markets since 2020, I should say. It is the worst. Our economy's worse now than it was in 2020, just so you know. Those are the real numbers when they tell you that they've gained, 300,000 jobs in a month. Those jobs are government jobs. So those jobs are just adding to the debt, which just is causing this market collapse. Do everybody understand that? See, if you create a government job and you're printing cash to pay for that government job, it adds nothing to the economy except more. Get this, Aaron, if this doesn't make sense, let me know.
Okay.
If you create a government job and using printed cash to pay for that government job, all you've done is put more cash in the system, causing inflation.
Yes.
Okay, there you go. So that's what's happening. So all the jobs you're seeing are the number one job in America right now is healthcare. Number two is government. not manufacturing, not industry, government.
Yeah, that's bad.
So and then medical is paid for primarily from what? Printed cash. So you're putting more cash in. That's the number one job in America is medical, which is paid for by the government, Medicare, Medicaid. And a lot of those jobs are actually founded in illegal migration. They're needed because of illegal migration.
Yeah.
So once again, they're actually government jobs that produce nothing. So it just floods the market with more cash. Number two job in America, the most likely, the most produced job in America is a government job, pure government job, which does nothing but flood the market with cash. That's why you're seeing these markets, which are founded in cash, i.e. the NASDAQ, Dow Jones, all of them, S&P, they're founded in cash and they are collapsing because nobody is producing anything.
Yeah.
They're just flooding the markets with cash, which is great for a while. And Trump predicted that Joe Biden would cause a market crash. Well, he has. So you have this market crash. Just so everybody knows, through the Islamic illegal migration, just so you know, if you're offended by people attacking Islam, you better turn off this podcast now. I'm just warning you. If you're just like, Tom, let be and let be, no, and that's not going to happen. The Islamic faith needs to be attacked. It is a violent faith. It is a demonic faith that we worship the devil. That's what it is. It is a child rapist faith.
Yep.
It is a bestiology.
Bestiality. Yep.
Faith. It's what it is. That's who these people are. Just so you know, you're like every Islamist. Don't know. But if you ask any Islamist to actually denounce any things I just said, they won't.
Yeah.
So yes, every Islamist. The UK is on fire because of their illegal migration, their policies. It's actually not illegal because they're allowing it.
Right.
But because of their Islamicist migration into the country. And you're going to hear some stats in a minute from Alex Jones. Violence is erupting everywhere. Rapes through the roof in the UK. Rapes through the roof in Sweden. You're like, Tom, This sounds like racism. How is it a racism when I'm talking about a religion?
Yeah.
You notice how they'll attach racism to anything. If you're against illegal border invasions, they'll call you a racist. Well, which race exactly am I a racist against? Since 169 countries have been represented illegally invading our southern border, which race am I against? Am I against Slavics? Am I against Asians? Am I against Eastern Europeans? Am I against Mexicans? Am I against South Africans? Am I against South Americans? Canadians? Which one am I a racist against exactly? Since I haven't mentioned skin tone at all. So how am I a racist if I speak out against the Muslim faith and the Islam faith? How exactly am I a racist if I speak out against Muslims? Because boy, am I going to do that tonight, just so you know. The UK is on fire because of Muslims that have been allowed into the country on purpose by globalist leftist bourgeois elitists who are now attacking. If you want to protest there in the UK with knives and machetes and samurai swords as a Muslim, you are fine.
Right.
If you come out as a white Anglo-Saxon or even a black Anglo-Saxon, so to speak, a black nativist of Great Britain, you will be arrested immediately. If you post the wrong thing on Facebook right now in the UK, you'll be arrested immediately. You can have a pro-Islamic site that promotes the rape of children and animals.
Yep.
How dare you say it's a fact. It's a fact.
Yeah.
Muslims rape kids and Muslims rape animals.
Yep.
Facts. Sorry you don't like it. And by the way, I'm trying to remember the stats from Gavin McGinnis that were on Joe Rogan. Aaron, if they pop into your head, yep. Remember the inbred rate.
I think it was over 51%.
Yeah, it's higher than that. Yeah. It's well into the 70s. It's above 70%. These are Pakistanians who they're, what do you call it when you're, it's incestuous, but what do you, inbred, but it's there's a better term for it than that. But the rate of inbred births among the Pakistanians is above 50%. So these people are having sex with their first cousins and producing children, or marrying their first cousins and producing children, which causes you to have a much lower IQ.
Yeah, under 70.
15 to 20% lower on the whole. 15 to 20 points lower on the whole when you have an incestuous baby. So anyway, so UK is on fire. The markets are on fire. Iran is threatening to bomb Israel at any moment. Iran, we already have United States. We have American soldiers injured on one of our military bases in Iraq. Now, let's go to the Biden statement, all this. Shall we? Let's go to it. Aaron, go to it. Oh, we don't have one because Biden hasn't made a statement yet. Oh, you know what? You know what? But you know what? We know he's not running the country right now. He never has been. He's 7 inches taller. We know that. But he's 7 inches taller than he was a month ago. But so let's go to the Aaron. Go cue up the Kamala Harris statement on all of this.
All right.
We don't have one of those either.
It's missing.
I mean, can you imagine this? Think about how weird it is. The markets crashed. The UK's on fire. Iran is threatening Israel. Joe Biden has sworn that we will defend Israel. Americans are injured on a military base, and nothing from the White House. I mean, these are the experts that all the Christians listen to. I know I'm preaching to the choir right now. 721 people watching. I know that we're the red-pilled ones, so please understand when I'm not talking to you, I'm not talking to you. Understand that. I'm not talking to you if you're red-pilled. I understand. Even if you caved to COVID, now you know you're wrong and you've stated that you're wrong. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to everybody else who listens to these people. How could you ever listen to a person who won't make a public statement at a time like this? I mean, where's Kamala Harris? Who's running this country? I checked right before I left. There's been no public statements at all. We're on the verge of World War III in Ukraine. The Chinese Navy has surrounded Taiwan. We have a military Chinese base on Cuba. We have Russian submarines off the coast of Florida.
Yeah.
The markets just crashed. They're de-dollarizing the globe via the BRICS movement, the Chinese yuan. UK's on fire because Muslims are attacking English men and women in the streets and mass rapes. Iran is now threatening Israel, and Americans have been injured on an American military base in Iraq. So where's the White House? Where's Joe Biden? At least you'd think they'd put up some sort of teleprompter for him. You notice now he's disappeared totally, completely.
Yeah.
Nothing at all now. Nothing. Which, I mean, for me, it's peaceful to have Joe Biden not talking and Kamala Harris not talking because I don't have to listen to their ridiculousness. But, I mean, again, I've never seen this before.
Yeah.
In my life, I've never seen anything like this before, ever. All right, let's go to this one. Just a quick story here. This latest off of the Gateway Pundit. Had to put this out there. It doesn't have much to do with the rest of the night, but just in, new details emerge about Biden White House cocaine scandal. Remember that one where you had, and they say that it was a blind spot that, you know, they have cameras all over the White House in that one area, which has a bunch of cubbies that everybody delivers stuff into. But that is a blind spot. You know, just like the Jeffrey Epstein, where you had the guards all fell asleep, all the cameras working. He was on the suicide watch, but nobody's watching him. Then they took him off the suicide watch and put him in a cell with a very dangerous man. And then he hung himself, right? Yeah. So anyway, so the White House scandal, they allege that in this cubby area, it's almost like a school locker area, like a preschool locker area,
yeah,
where it's just open cubbies, like a male thing, that somehow there's no video cameras there. So there's areas of the White House that are not videoed.
Hmm.
There's another great accomplishment by the Secret Service. So we all know that's not true. We all know that they saw whether it was Hunter, whether it was Kamala, because if you look at the Kamala video, she's obviously on something. I mean, she's obviously snorting something, drinking something, What I'm taking an enema of something, whatever it is that she's doing, the woman is high most of the time.
Oh, yeah.
We know that. So we know that the video showed whoever it was and that Kim Cheadle and now Ron Rowe are in the middle of a cover-up.
Yeah.
They're covering up the shooting of Donald Trump because we know that was a globalist plot in the Secret Service. Everybody that was involved in the upper levels of government was involved in that shooting. We know that. But now new details emerge about Biden White House cocaine scandal. There was a partial DNA hit that was actually found on the bag.
Before they blew it up?
Yeah, before they blew it up.
Oh.
Again, you know, that's the thing. That's what you do with you. And again, I've got Brent in the room tonight, former Cincinnati cop. And, you know, you take your drug evidence in. You take your drug evidence, you get your region test out, and you break the ampules, and you test it and go, you know what, that's positive for cocaine. Just like we have on radio with the Secret Service police, they're breaking the ampules on the region test. You know, this is positive for cocaine. And then, you know what you do? You just go ahead and attach an M82 and blow it up. That's what you do with evidence. I mean, that's what every cop shop does. Isn't that what every police agency does? Oh, no agencies ever do that. You never blow up cocaine. Who blows up cocaine?
Oh, my word.
I mean, think if it wasn't cocaine. What if it was anthrax and you just blew it into the air?
Oh, my gosh.
It gets to the place of being laughable. And all of this needs to be investigated and prosecuted. Turns out that even the FBI found a partial DNA hit, which means that it's a DNA hit. So they found DNA that could match, that's not specifically attached to a person in FCIC, NCIC, criminal database, fingerprint data, the DNA database, but it could match the blood of a person in the criminal DNA database.
Yeah.
And, you know, but Kim Cheadle didn't do anything with it. And Cheadle tried to make it all disappear. But don't worry. Rutrow's on it. Ron Rowe's on it. He's on it. That guy. Remember the number two in charge of the Secret Service, who was making all the personnel decisions going into the Trump rally. Did you know this? Credit Dan Bongino, that prior to the Butler rally, he had no CS teams going to his rallies? None. There was no counter-sniper teams going to any of his rallies, outdoor included.
Wow.
None. Why? Because it was too far of a driving distance from Washington, D.C. That was Ron Rowe making those decisions. And now they're trying to make the DNA evidence disappear. Everybody involved in that. I don't care if you're a line item. I mean, whether you're a line agent, whether you are a lab tech or the director, deputy director, deputy of the deputy director. I don't care who you are. You will go to federal prison for this. That's what has to happen with the Secret Service. You will go to federal prison for obstructing an investigation and tampering with evidence. This has to happen, folks. Don't listen. Once Trump gets elected, don't get all happy. Stay like me and stay in a permanent funk and be like, you know what? No. These people need to be prosecuted or they're going to do it over and over and over again. We're going to see one impeachment, one sham impeachment after another, one sham investigation after another, he's been convicted of 34 felonies, trial one after another for crimes that have never existed before.
Right.
More raids of people's house. Unless you put them in prison for what they've done, for actual crimes, they're going to continue to prosecute us for non-existent crimes.
Yep.
All right, let's go to the market crash. And listen, I'm not the best on markets. I'll do the best that I can. I'm not the best on them, markets at all. So I'll do the best I can. I'll tell you if I'm guessing. But here it is, Disclosed TV video. Now, market sell-off. Most of you have seen this Fox Business. Play for me.
What some would call history in the making. Scary. Don't say that.
We have never been down 1,000 points ever, not even intraday on the NASDAQ.
Is that true?
That is true.
Okay. I'm down 6% right from the get-go. This is heavy, heavy, big tech. Here we go. Look at them go down. Microsoft is down $20. That's 5%. Alphabet, 5%. Meta, 6%. Amazon, 6%. Apple, 9% down. Let's pull out Apple. This is interesting.
So there you go. Now everybody's down because of the de-dollarization of the globe, because of hyperinflation. It's finally hitting the markets.
Yeah.
Eventually, even though they all get mass infusions of cash that are great at first, eventually mass infusions of cash turn into what they always do, which is hyperinflation. Too many dollars chasing too few goods. And it turns out, I mean, again, that crashes markets. Go to the next one for me. Now, in the midst of this, Ross Alert tweet, in the midst of this, multiple brokerages, including Charles Schwab, Fidelity, Vanguard, of course, TD, Ameritrade, E-Trade, UPS, Centerlink, and Interactive Brokers are currently down and reporting errors and market crashes. Now, leave this up. Again, this is awfully coincidental, isn't it?
Yeah.
That they all crash on the day of a crash. Understand, a market crash has nothing to do with a computer crash.
Correct.
There isn't suddenly this giant influx of people using their Ameritrade account, or a giant influx of people using their Vanguard or Charles Schwab account. There is no, like, where, you know, they crash. Sometimes Dan Bongino's podcast will crash the Rumble chat.
Yeah.
Because of mass use, or like how Rumble went down for a few minutes on the debate night.
Yeah.
Because of the mass use. There was no mass use. It just suddenly, for all of the institutional investors, these all were working. But for individual investors,
oops,
that could divest on their own, suddenly you couldn't get on to them. Charles Schwab, Fidelity, all of those right there, American Trade. You wanted to dump your stock?
Yeah.
Nope, you aren't allowed. They shut it down. Just like they do in China. We emulate China.
Yeah.
More than you could ever imagine, we emulate China. China had a run on their banks because China's yuan, which is the BRICS movement that they're trying to turn the entire global economy from the USD to the yuan. That's the BRICS movement. They're, the yuan is basically just postured money. It means nothing. It's fake. It's falsely inflated and falsely valued. Now, when the Chinese tried to make a run on their banks, I think it was about a year ago, the Chinese government put tanks out in front of banks.
Yeah.
And would not allow people to go into the banks.
Yep.
That's the entire world economy, just so you know. And when these people tried to get into their own account, they were denied getting into their American company account.
Yeah.
Now, again, the institutional investors, the bigwigs, could get in. But you and I could not, because you see, everything that you and I see and have believed in outside of the Constitution, Bill of Rights, the real foundation of America, is all a lie.
Yep.
Aaron, do you have something?
Yeah, no, I was going to say, we saw that too when, if people remember what happened with shorting the GameStop stock.
Yep, that's hard to say.
Yeah, it is hard to say. Is the bigwigs were able to short the stock. But if you wanted to go in and sell or buy, they put a limit on it. So Robinhood, E-Trade, all those things that were just up on the screen, they actually stopped you and I from being able to buy or sell GameStop because of the fact that it was actually hurting big-time investors.
So what Aaron's saying is that George Carlin is correct. It's a giant party, but you and I are not invited.
Exactly.
So it's all a fraud. They just turn it all off for you and I. They just turn it all off. All right, Benny Johnson video, in case you were wondering how we got the Kamala crash. This is the Biden-Harris administration's handpicked. Get this now. You're wondering how we get to these places. How do our markets crash? How do we end up with hyperinflation? How are our food prices up 30%? How are our gas prices up 75%? How has this all happened? Does anybody actually, I want to ask you this. Does anybody actually understand anything, or are they liars? And those are your only two choices. They're either liars or they understand nothing. It's like doctors telling you to wear a mask to stop a respiratory virus, knowing that a mask can't stop a respiratory virus, but they're still telling you to wear a mask.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm talking about doctors that have been doctors for 30, 40 years right now are telling you to get your 10th vaccination and put your mask back on, and just got an EUA for the bird flu.
Yeah.
Does anybody understand what's going on? Are people, do they have absolutely, these quote unquote experts, they have no clue? Are they complete ignoramuses, or is it all on purpose? Those really are your only two choices. It's either corrupt or they have no idea what they're talking about. And by the way, it can be either one depending on the person. This is the, I've played this video once before. This is the Biden-Harris administration's handpicked economic advisor's chair. This is the expert of all experts when it comes to economics. Again, are they galactically ignorant or are they purposely nefarious? What is it that you cannot choose? There is no C.
Yeah.
This is their economics advisor's chair. Jared Bernstein is his name. This is him. Now, he's going to explain to us how markets and bond markets and the Fed works. Are you ready? Play for me, Brent.
The U.S. government can't go bankrupt because we can print our own money.
It obviously begs the question, why exactly are we borrowing in a currency that we print ourselves? I'm waiting for someone to stand up and say, why do we borrow our own currency in the first place?
Like you said, they print the dollar. So why does the government even borrow?
Well, some of this stuff gets some of the language and concepts are just confusing. I mean, the government definitely prints money, and it definitely lends that money, which is why the government definitely prints money, and then it lends that money by selling bonds. Is that what they do? They sell bonds. Yeah, they sell bonds, right? Since they sell bonds and people buy the bonds and lend them the money. Yeah. So a lot of times, at least to my ear with MMT, the language and the concepts can be kind of unnecessarily confusing, but there is no question that the government prints money and then it uses that money to I don't get it. I don't know what they're talking about. Like, because it's like the government clearly prints money. It does it all the time, and it clearly borrows. Otherwise, we wouldn't be having this debt and deficit conversation. So I don't think there's anything confusing there.
One.
First of all, that's correct. They do print the money. The Treasury prints it, but it's really more by the Fed. And then the Fed buys the money that the Treasury's printing, mm-hmm. and then issues loans on that money via bonds. So here's the thing. I'll give you the exact quote here. This is the economics advisor czar. This guy in charge. That guy right there is in charge. Ugh. This is the handpicked economic advisor's chair, Jared Bernstein. He says that, yes, the government prints money. Does the government print? Yeah, the government, that's what he says. Does the government print? Yeah, guts, and then lends the money to itself via bonds. Here's the quote. Then uses that money to That's what he said. This is the experts. These are the people that tell you, no, Tom, these are the people that tell you to put on masks, stand 6 feet apart, and buy an electric vehicle, right?
Yep.
These are the people that are telling you, you're like, those are all different people in all different fields. They're all the same person. Do you think have Bill Gates or any advocate for climate change, have them explain to you when CO2 becomes a problem? You know, I can tell you when fire becomes a problem. When I get too close to it, it burns my skin.
Yeah.
That's a problem. Have them define to you, have them give you a definition of when CO2 becomes a problem. Have Billy Gates tell you that. He'll sound just like Jared Bernstein just sounded. The government prints money, lends it in bonds, then uses that money to That was his answer. He never actually answered anything. So you ask them, you know what? Tell me what a woman is. And then all the Christians follow the orders of these people. I'm not talking to those of you in the chat. Those of you that are watching, you're all red-pilled. I'm talking to people who are outside of this chat and outside of the viewership of this podcast. A lot of people, they end up getting spoiled. I tell people this at Foundation Church. People would absolutely go through hell or high water to be live and in person in our church.
Yeah.
Because they have nothing wherever they live. And everybody ends up thinking that everybody thinks the way we think. They don't. They have no idea. Most Christians still believe they were right about COVID.
Yeah. Yep.
They do. They're like, well, you know, it was the right thing to do at the time. You know, everybody was worried about it. So, you know, as a good Christian, I need to cave to what everybody's worried about. That's Christianity, is caving to lies and showing compassion to liars, putting a lie on my face. That's Christianity. You know what Christianity is? Standing in the Word of God. Whatever the Word of God says is what you do.
Yep.
That's Christianity. Whatever the Word of God tells you not to do, you don't do it. That's Christianity. Christianity tells you in the face of disease to bind it and loose health. That's what you do. You don't strap on masks, stand 6 feet apart and lock down your places of worship. Yeah. When God commands you to not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. But most Christians live under Jared Bernstein. The government prints money, lends money. Then that money is used to, and all the Christians follow these idiots. Fauci's no smarter. Fauci has never cured a disease in his life. No. And is in charge of the NIAID. National Institutes of Infectious Diseases. He's in charge of that. And he's never cured an infectious disease or seen a patient in his freaking life. And all the Christians follow these people. I mean, it truly baffles my mind. That's who's in charge. Guys like this. Wonder why we're having a market collapse? Janet Yellen, transitory inflation while she prints money? How do you have transitory inflation when 50% of our current currency was printed under the Biden administration?
Yeah.
It's just under 50%. It's in the 40-something percent.
Yeah.
Of our current currency was printed in the last 3.5 years.
Yep.
And the inflation is transitory. Amazing. Here's CNN Business. Remember what this just shows you. Here's more of the experts. These are the people in the know right here. Look at the date, April 19th, 2021. Trump said electing Biden would crash the markets. It didn't. 4 months into his administration, that's their proclamation. Global, the next one, here's today's. Global stock markets plunge.
Whoops.
Yeah. This isn't for those of you watching this podcast. But most people and most Christians believe CNN to some degree.
Yeah.
And you're like a lot of them, they woke up to CNN. Well, they believe Fox then.
Yep.
I mean, if Fox is better, it's Diet CNN and Paul Ryan is on their board.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Ryan Rosbiani video. This is a great video. It may be a little off topic, but it really shows you how, you know, our entire conception of everything is wrong.
Yeah.
Again, like 5 years ago, you know, 4.5 years, 15 days to flatten the curve. 5 years ago, I lived in sweet oblivion. And I'll be lying to you if I said, you know what, I missed those. I'd be lying to you if I said I didn't miss those days.
Yeah.
I did. I lived in sweet oblivion. I didn't know. I know that Washington had a measure of corruption, but I didn't know it was a feces floating cesspool.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I didn't know about the CCP. I didn't know about the PLA. I didn't know about gain of function research. I didn't know about the World Economic Forum. I'm talking about 5 years ago. I didn't know. I was a Trump supporting son of a gun, right wing gun toter, all those things, but I didn't know. So here is this is a great video from the president of El Salvador, which explains to you the base of our economic system. Play for me, Brent.
They always tell me that the problem is high taxes, but they're wrong. Of course, high taxes are extremely high here in the United States. I give you that. The real problem is not the high taxes themselves, but the fact that they are not even really funding the government. Not even those high taxes, higher than a lot of places in the world, not even those taxes are really funding the government. So who's financing the government? Government is financed by treasury bonds. And who buys the treasury bonds? Mostly the Fed. And how does the Fed buy them? By printing money. But what backing does the Fed have for that money being printed? The treasury bonds themselves. So basically, you finance the government by printing money out of thin air. Well, so if the government can print the limited amounts of money out of thin air, why do they collect taxes? The answer is simple, but it's very shocking. The real problem is that you pay high taxes only to uphold the illusion that you are funding the government, which you are not. It's shocking, but it's true. The government is funded by money printing, paper backed with paper, a bubble that will inevitably burst. The situation is even worse than it seems, because if most Americans and the rest of the world were to become aware of this farce, confidence in your currency would be lost, the dollar would fall, and the Western civilization with it. If the next president of the United States doesn't make the necessary policies and structural change, sooner or later that bubble will burst. There's still time. You don't have to make the same mistakes we did in the 60s and the 70s. You can still jump before the water boils. Winning the election isn't enough to solve these problems. They will not simply go away as a consequence of an electoral result. It will take a total re-engineering of the government, top to bottom. It will entail making difficult decisions. It will be hard, The system will push back, but you have the right to determine your own fate.
Nass summed it up while we were all watching the video. The United States is a giant Ponzi scheme. We're an Enron.
Yeah.
That's what we are. See, again, treasury bonds are what actually funds the government. Those treasury bonds are bought by the Fed, which prints the money to buy them. And what backs them being able to print money? Get this now. One more time. What funds our government? Treasury bonds. They're bought by printed money that the Fed prints through the Treasury, right?
Yes.
Now, what gives them the right to print that money? The bonds. Did everyone understand that?
Yeah.
The Treasury bonds are bought by printed money. And then what enables them to print more money are those bonds that are a result of printed money.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we're at. That's the truth. $35 trillion in debt. How are we in debt when we print money? You're like, Thomas, it's too much for me to understand, too. I don't have time to study it. But the thing is, just know how corrupt it all is. When you are buying bonds with printed cash and you enable yourself to print more cash on the surety of the bonds that you bought with the printed cash.
Clown world.
Exactly. It is a giant clown world. All right, so that's enough on that. All right, Charlie Kirk video. Now, there's a new insurrection brewing in the United States of America. We never had one on 1-6-2021. We know that. That wasn't an insurrection. That was a Fed insurrection. And basically, how do you have an insurrection with no firearms? But, so the people that are claiming that it's an insurrection on 1-6, still to this day with Matthew Graves, the United States attorney, in collaboration with the DOJ, is looking to arrest somewhere in the neighborhood of another 1,000 1-6 protesters for knowingly trespassing without knowingly trespassing. Do you see how that works with the whole treasury bond thing?
Yeah.
you're gonna be arrested for knowingly trespassing when there were no signs telling you that you were trespassing. That makes about as much sense as the bond buy-off of printing money and buying bonds and then insuring the printing of money with the bonds that you bought with printed money. So you're going to go arrest people for knowingly trespassing when they had no idea they were trespassing because Ray Epps tore down the barriers.
Yeah.
Right? So now the very people that are accusing the 1-6 protesters of an insurrection, of conducting an insurrection and attempting an insurrection with no firearms. First of all, you'd have to defeat the Capitol Police, 2,700 members for a two square mile area. 2.5 square mile area of the Capitol is 2,700 officers. All of Seattle has about 780. But the Capitol with 2 miles has 2,700 officers. You have to defeat all of them with no firearms. Then you'd have to defeat the National Guard, which was only minutes away. Then you'd have to defeat the regular military, all with Trump flags. And all with an average age of about 70.
Yeah.
They're all going to, that's the insurrection that the Democrats say that the right wing perpetrated on 1-6-21, right? One of those people that accuses us of this all the time is Democrat Jamie Raskin. But Charlie Kirk video, Jamie Raskin is saying that Congress will stop Trump from taking office even if he's chosen by the voters. Is that not an insurrection? So once again, the people who call us Nazi are Nazis. The people that call us murderers are the murderers. The people that call us racist are the racists. And the people that call us insurrectionists are the insurrectionists. We don't try. Has anybody tried to get Kamala Harris off the ballot? Has anybody tried to get Joe Biden off the ballot? The only people that tried to get anybody off the ballot were the insurrectionist Democrats.
Yep.
The only people that have an open southern border, which is an insurrection, is the Democrats.
Yep.
So here's Jamie Raskin's plan using the 14th Amendment of the Constitution to use that to not allow Trump to take office after he wins the election because he knows that Trump's going to win. He certainly is going to destroy Kamala. And don't believe any of these recent polls. Garbage. And by the way, they're already starting to turn back to Trump right now. They're already starting to turn back to him. And I saw one today, 18 to 34 years old. Trump is up by 5%. If Trump wins 18 to 34 years old, it's over.
Yeah.
It's over. But here's Jamie Raskin. Play for me, Brett.
what can be put into the Constitution can slip away from you very quickly. And the greatest example going on right now before our very eyes is Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, which they're just disappearing with a magic wand, as if it doesn't exist, even though it could not be clearer what it's stating. And so, you know, they want to kick it to Congress. So it's going to be up to us on January 6, 2025, to tell the rampaging Trump mobs that he's disqualified. And then we need bodyguards for everybody and civil war conditions, all because the nine justices, not all of them, but these justices who have not many cases to look at every year, not that much work to do, a huge staff, great protection, simply do not want to do their job and interpret what the great 14th Amendment means. And I'm glad that Sherilyn's creating her new center so we can bring that on.
So Jamie Raskin wants to discard the ruling of the SCOTUS in the immunity ruling where Donald Trump is immune from prosecution for any of his official acts. So they want to, which ruins Jack Smith's case, which ruins Fannie Willis's case, which ruins Jack Smith's other West Palm Beach case, ruins his case. But Jamie Raskin is saying that we're going to keep Trump out of office. It sounds just like Peter Strzok and Lisa Page.
Yep.
You know, we can't let Trump win. No, we won't allow it. We have a plan. Peter Strzok, we have a plan. We won't let it happen. So here's Jamie Raskin. Now imagine if any of us on the right said that.
Oh, my word.
That if Kamala Harris won the election, we won't let her take office. Where's the media? Well, in order to have a Hitler, and again, I don't mean to go down this road all the time, but we've got to be able to answer their accusations. You don't just sit there and absorb accusations. You answer their accusations. When they claim that you're a Hitler or that you're an extreme right winger, first of all, you need to say, tell me who was extreme right wing in the past that was a totalitarian. Who was the extreme right winger that was a totalitarian? There isn't any. There's only extreme left wingers that were totalitarians. Mao, Pol Pot, Stalin, Hitler, on and on and on we could go. Mussolini. They were all left wingers. It was a left winger. And people call them alt-right. They call us Nazis. So, well, how are we Nazi when we're not socialist? You know, National Socialist Party, Nazi Party? We're the opposite of socialist. So now the very people that claim that we are these things, that we are these insurrectionists, you know, that Trump will just stay in office. They're always claiming Trump refused to cede the election, to concede the election to Joe Biden. He left office, didn't he?
Yeah.
Then that is conceding the election to Joe Biden. He left. He flew out. We all watched the sad flight out of Washington, D.C.
Yep.
He left.
Yep.
All right, are we back?
We appear
to be back. Stupid freaking Hurricane Debbie. I hate her.
Yeah.
I hate that chick.
Big Deborah.
So sick of freaking hurricanes. Man, I love Florida, but I'll tell you, man, I hate them. It's done nothing but get in my way. You know, my street's flooded. Every time I go out and walk the dog, I'm soaking wet. Got poured on today. So sick of it. The power just went out literally for 1 second.
Yeah.
Power went off and just knocked us out. So anyway, all right, so we're back. Where was that? 14th Amendment. Throw that back up for me, Brent. So here's where that's what Jamie Raskin is trying to do, to say or trying to use the 14th Amendment to not allow Trump to take office after he wins the election. Here's the 14th Amendment. How could he possibly use this? Section 3, and it specifically is Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. That's what Raskin says he's going to use to keep Donald Trump from taking office. And you notice he said we're going to need like military help to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, and we're the insurrectionists. Section 3 of the 14th Amendment to the United States Constitution states, no person shall ever hold any office, civil or military, under the United States or under any state who, having previously taken an oath as a member of Congress or as an officer of the United States or as a member of any state legislature or any executive or judicial officer or any state to support the Constitution of the United States shall have engaged in insurrection. Donald Trump didn't do that. Or rebellion against the same. How did Donald Trump, again, leave this up, ask any leftard to define to you what is an assault weapon? Ask any leftard to define to you what is a woman. Ask any leftard to define insurrection. Ask any leftard to define where CO2 becomes problematic. They can't. It's all just these ambiguous claims these ambiguous threats, these ambiguous sort of accusations. Trump committed an insurrection. Tell me how exactly, word for word, line for line, tell me how Trump incited or committed an insurrection, which, by the way, it doesn't even say incited in a rebellion or incited an insurrection. It says engaged in an insurrection or a rebellion. So Trump, of course, didn't incite, but he certainly didn't engage.
No.
How did he engage in an insurrection? I mean, if he's guilty of engaging in an insurrection, then Bernie Sanders is guilty of shooting Steve Scalise.
Right.
Because the reason why Steve Scalise got shot is because Bernie Sanders says that the Republicans' Medicaid bill was going to cause Americans to die. So that guy arms himself with an AR-15 and goes and shoots up a Republican baseball practice, nearly killing Steve Scalise. So Bernie Sanders incited him, did he not?
Yep. There you go.
So how, if words, and by the way, Donald Trump never even said anything near what Bernie Sanders said.
No.
I mean, how do you incite an insurrection by saying go and peacefully and patriotically protest? So the people claiming that we are the insurrectionists are the ones who are planning, actively planning, actually saying the quiet part out loud, planning an insurrection using the Section 3 of the 14th Amendment to do so. So just so you know, whatever they, everybody already knows, we really got 826 still here?
Yep.
Oh, wow, it's great. Thanks for sticking with us, everybody. I'm going to go a little longer now. That gives me license to go longer.
You have
we were off the air for at least 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Five minutes.
That means extra 30 minutes.
We got to go an extra 40 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
But I promise I'll be off no later than 10:40, 8, 50, whatever it is. No, I'm just
11.
Kidding. I'm still shooting to be in the low tens, somewhere in there. But I still got to cover the Muslim invasion of the UK, which is next. But I just wanted everybody to know, you already know this, everything that they project onto us, they have either done or are actively doing. So when they call us grandma killers, the only people that killed grandma during the pandemic were them, because the people dying at the highest percentages are those who are vaccinated, who are elderly. Those are the people who have been most victimized by the vaccine. The most likely to die of vax-related injuries and vax-related sickness, illness, or disease are the elderly. We focus on the young because of the myocarditis, but the most likely to die of a vaccine injury are the elderly. So the only people killing grandma are the people claiming that we kill grandma.
Yep.
The only people that actually kill people are them. And then they claim all the time that we kill people. We never kill anybody. They do. 41 million abortions a year that we know of. All right, let's go to the Muslim invasion of UK. So what has been going on in the UK? And it's not, we focus on really the last 3.5 years because of the Biden administration, 15,000. I know I'm starting with America first because it's really the same. It's just all on a percentage basis. We are letting in, on a percentage basis, basically the same as every other first world country. I'm talking about illegal immigrants. We are allowing in, on a percentage basis, about the same amount of illegal aliens as everybody else's, because it is a globalist, bourgeois, leftist agenda. It is a plot, just like everything's a plot. Climate change is a plot. CBDCs, plot. Vaccines, plot. Pandemic, plot. It's a hyperinflation, plot. To devalue your currency, hyperinflate your currency, so you have to run to the government for assistance. That's the point of everything. So basically, so if you have a country of our size, which they say is 330 million, we're way bigger than that. Guarantee you we're over 400 million people. Joe Biden has allowed in, at the end of this year, 17 million undocumented migrants into this country. You think we're still 330 million people? That was 2006 when we were 330 million people.
Yeah, exactly.
And every year, we allow in 1.2 million legal migrants. And that's chain migration. So for every one legal migrant, there's attached at least one other legal migrant to them.
Yep.
And many bring in 17 people with them. So you allow in 1 million, and at minimum it's 2 million, and at maximum it's 17 million.
Yeah.
Every year we allow in, legally. So you still think we're 330 million people? I hear people claim that all the time. That was the 2006 census. I guarantee you, we're 400 to 450 million people live here.
Definitely.
So here's the thing. If you have a country like Great Britain who has far fewer people, they're letting in fewer people, but on a percentage basis, they're allowing in the same amount of people that we are on a percentage per capita basis. So they have been getting in, and again, we focus on the last 4 or 5 years, the tail end of the Trump administration and the Biden administration allowing in 15,000 undocumented migrants per day, Donald Trump 8,000 per month. That was the Trump versus Biden administration. So the UK's basically been doing the exact same thing. And the numbers are absolutely staggering. Here's Alex Jones' video. I'm going to use this just to set the precedent for this Muslim illegal migration into the UK of all of these military age men. The exact same thing is happening here. And these military age men are staging. They're staging. And Muslims specifically are very dangerous because you can follow this all the way through history. They come in and they demand acceptance and tolerance, claim to be nice, and then have lots and lots of babies, procreate, have tons and tons of babies, and then demand more rights, and then take them by force. That's what happens all throughout history because that's what the Quran tells them to do.
Yep.
And all of these people, there's a great, and I'll get to this on tomorrow, James O'Keefe video about the stolen election at a town up north. And this is exactly what happened there, where they have all these leftards. We welcome illegal migrants. We welcome all the Muslims. We welcome. Well, now the Muslims have taken over that town and have banned their rainbow flag. So all these people, they welcomed them with open arms. And the people they welcome with open arms have now banned them from society.
Awesome.
That's how Muslims work. That's how it works. And because they all believe in Sharia. They all believe, you talk about all these people are allegedly advocates for women and you welcome Muslims with open arms, but not a conservative. So they won't welcome me, my wife doesn't have to wear shrouds or
hijabs.
My wife doesn't have to wear that. You won't welcome me into your leftard circles because I'm a threat, but you'll welcome a Muslim into your leftard circles. My wife can do whatever she wants, but you allow a Muslim into your circles whose wife has to be donned in clothing, everything but her eyes, can't drive, can't get a driver's license, and they won't allow them to get educated. But I'm not welcome, but they are. How does that make sense to you? It doesn't. Alex Jones' video, UK groomer gangs fuel globalist chaos. Before the mass stabbings of native UK men, women, and children became commonplace, a quiet evil was lurking. Kind of a long video, 5 minutes long. Pay close attention to it. I'm going to be writing the stats down. You write them down. It's absolutely startling what's been going on really for the last 30 years in the UK. And if it's going on in the UK, it's going on here too. It's just a slower drip here as far as the loss of our rights. Play for me, Brent.
Pedophilia has had a long history in England, and until recently, even that was covered up.
British entertainer Jimmy Savile victimized young girls on national television, openly flaunted abusing 177 patients between the ages of 5 and 75 at 41 hospitals, keeping their eyeballs as souvenirs.
Hospitals have rules with patients and things like that. Well, because I'm dyslexic when I want to be, I don't understand rules.
Jimmy Savile's victims have faced years of pain. We owe it to them and to our audiences to understand how this could have happened and to make sure that everything we do ensures that nothing like this could ever happen again.
Now, after decades of neglect, finally, England must now answer to why the powers that be quietly allowed mainly Pakistani, Kurdish, and Kosovoan Muslim men, according to court records, to form a network of sex trafficking rings all across Great Britain to sadistically rape thousands of English girls for roughly 4 decades.
We seem to be looking at millions of rapes of white and Sikh girls by Muslim men, only 222 of whom have been convicted since 2005. So, my lords, will the government ask our Muslim leaders whether the perpetrators can claim that their behavior is sanctioned in the Quran and to issue a fatwa against it? And second, my lords, Will the government encourage a national debate about the various interpretations of Islam? Can we talk about Islam without being accused of hate crime?
And when you look back to for example, the 1970s, we had something like 200,000 Muslims in Britain at that time. But every decade they've doubled since then. So the 200,000 became 400,000, became 800,000. We're now up to 3.2 million. But as they grow, they start demanding more and they start pushing more. And because they back this up with terrorism and with jihad, the government listens to them. You know, when Muhammad said, "I have been made victorious through terror," he's speaking absolutely the truth. And our government understands the fact that they are frightened of Islam. And they Islam pushes and our government buckles.
The most recent scandal, known as the Telford scandal, was a network of 200-plus Muslim men gang-raping local children. While another major incident known as the Rotherham scandal from 1997 to 2013 affected at least 1,400 children. Some had reported being doused with gasoline, witnessing violent rape, and had their families threatened if they talked. A 2013 inquiry into the Rotherham child sexual exploitation uncovered a local government unwilling to address the problem due to contempt for the working class, a fear of being deemed racist, and protection of its reputation.
There have been slave caravans and slave women and slave children being sold. For 6,000 plus years of recorded history in North Africa, in the Middle East, and in Central Asia. By the way, there are other cultures were selling slaves as well. It's just those cultures never came up to the 21st century. Every major town has thousands of little girls and some boys trained, recruited, and then put into sex slavery by age 9, 10, 11. And if the parents, the poor parents, get uppity and say no, the police come and set them up and arrest them and have CPS, Child Protective Services, take their children. So they could cover it up for decades, but because of Tommy Robinson breaking the ice, blowing a hole in the lie, and not shutting up, others had the courage to go public. So the pedophile rings that run England, that's mainstream news, are really angry. So now they've ordered in the courts that no one report on the trials, period. Don't even say they exist. Right-wing activist Tommy Robinson reportedly jailed after filming outside child grooming trial. This is Fox News. They were like, "Alex, there's not a ban on reporting on Tommy Robinson." And then they sort of commenting in the feeds going, "Oh, we apologize, there is. Oh my God, you can do that in England?" Yeah. So there's the InfoWars MD line that I don't talk.
All right, so there you go. And do buy stuff from Alex Jones. I buy fish oil from him, but anyway, it's good stuff. Alex Jones is a great man. I've met him before, super sweet person, really genuine human being. Buy stuff from him, support InfoWars. Love InfoWars, love Alex Jones. So let's just break down these numbers. First of all, Tommy Robinson is about to be arrested again. He's got a warrant issued for him. He's out. He's on holiday, what British citizens call it. He's on vacation right now outside of the country, but he's got a warrant issued for him. For what? He had a protest against against Islam. It's against illegal migration. It's against forcing UK citizens to have to deal with Muslim crimes and forcing UK citizens to deal with unfettered Muslim crimes. In other words, the UK government and UK police officers, the bobbies, they never want to arrest any Muslims because they'll be accused of being Islamophobic.
Yeah.
So they won't touch them, but they're very glad to arrest any British citizen because that's just like shooting fish in a barrel. It's just that low-hanging fruit. And they know that if you arrest a UK citizen, probably violence isn't going to erupt. So Tommy Robinson was originally arrested for exposing pedophile Muslim child grooming rings. He gets arrested. Not the groomers.
No.
But Tommy Robinson for actually exposing it. And now what Tommy Robinson is constantly saying over and over again, peaceful protest, peaceful protest, peaceful protest. He had 130 to 150,000 people at his protest recently. Not one violent incident. And now there's a warrant issued for his arrest. For the same thing they're doing to Trump, for insurrection. How did he commit an insurrection with a protest of 100,000 people when there was not one violent incident? Nobody tried to take over the government. How exactly is he committing in any sort of government threat or government insurrection? But he has a warrant issued for him for that right now. So you have, did you hear the statistics? Remember, this is a country where I said we're probably 400 million people. The UK right now today, 68 million people. That's it. 68 million people. That's it. Now, when this video was made, which was years ago, at least a decade ago, there was 3.2 million Muslims in the country that they were just allowed in. Now, that's before the giant open borders policies that all of these globalist WEF acolytes have instituted. Why do they institute it? It's hard to tell whether it's somebody who is simply a pawn or somebody's a king or a queen. Like somebody like Biden is a pawn. Somebody like Obama is a king or queen. Obama knows what's going on. Biden is a pawn. Yeah. Many Democratic politicians like AOC is a pawn. She doesn't know she's being used to usher in that which she allegedly hates, which is Nazism. Mm-hmm. Even though she herself is far closer to being a Nazi than anybody that she accuses of being a Nazi. But she's just a pawn. So you never know whether somebody is in the know or not in the know, a pawn. You never know. It's hard to tell. Obviously, the big wigs at the WEF, whether it's Noah Harari, whether it's Klaus Schwab, John Kerry, Obama, maybe Biden when he still had his mind, whatever, before he took six vaccinations, causing himself to get dementia. Maybe before then he was part of it. Who knows? And other people that you could name also. Of course, Justin Trudeau's in the know. I believe Gavin Newsom's in the know.
Oh, yeah.
And many others that we could name. But anyway, Gretchen Whitmer, probably in the know. None of these people are vaccinated. None of them took that thing. None of them will ever actually live under the policies that they mandate. They themselves will never do that. But did you hear the stats here? And again, this was from a decade ago or more. It's been going on for 40 years. Millions of rapes in the UK. Millions. Did you know that? I mean, I knew recently. And this is before the tidal wave of illegal migration that's been going on for the last 5 or 6 years, which is flat out open borders with boat after boat. I don't cover it a whole lot because it's overseas. I pretty much cover our own open border, but it's the same statistically per capita there as it is here, if not slightly worse there, mm-hmm. because the countries are closer there. So you have millions of rapes. That wasn't me saying that. That was an MP on the parliamentary floor. Millions of rapes of UK women and Sikhs. Sikhs are the enemies of the Muslim faith. And only 222 convictions, and there's millions of rapes. Because these Muslim men believe that they can just sexually take advantage of any woman that they want. And by the way, when they're committing millions of them and only 200 convictions, they're right. They can do whatever they want. So we see now what kind of shape the UK is in. How different are we? With an open border with 17 million people allowed in over the last 3.5 years. How different are we? How different are we? They're coming in. It's amazing how whether it's a Muslim community, the Muslim faith, Muslims somehow attach themselves to leftists because sort of economically they believe obviously they're totalitarians. They have that in common, whether you have, you know, the Ayatollah Khomeini's, the imams of Iran, whatever. They believe in that totalitarianism. So they have that in common. But it's a very different kind of totalitarianism. You have leftist totalitarianism, which forces us all into pronouns and all those different things that I don't have time to get into. And then you have the exact opposite sort of totalitarianism that's espoused by the Muslims. But somehow they come into unity together. Or are they just the foot soldiers of the globalist left for now, and then the globalist left will crush Islam? I don't know. But obviously, we are set up the exact same way. We are already seeing the rapes in America. They're just, right now, it's a trickle. But the design is for it to be a mighty rushing river of Islamic crimes. And you look at the posturing of the politicians and the I didn't even know the name of the new UK. I thought it was still Rishi Sunak. It's not. It's Keir Starmer is the new UK prime minister, replaced Rishi Sunak. Obviously, you have a Muslim mayor of London, Sadiq Khan.
Yeah.
But look at how, if you look at this, it's tough to kind of do this. On the left is him addressing the George Floyd riots. And on the right, it's him addressing the quote unquote riots in the UK right now. What's happening in the riots in UK right now? Well, you had the three girls, I believe all 9 years of age, stabbed to death by an illegal Muslim migrant. 17-year-old illegal Muslim migrant comes into their school and stabs them all to death. Not to mention, everybody gets sick and tired of having their wife's butt grabbed when they go out. And nobody does a thing about it. I mean, Aaron and I have played the videos where you have women being dragged into alleys and all of these cuck boy European men stand there and do nothing.
Yep.
Stand there. Why a Islamic male drags a white European woman into an alley to sexually assault her and nobody does a thing. So everybody, whether it's Ireland, which is fed up, Ireland's burning down Muslim encampments that are being built, not with people in them, but they're basically building them apartment complexes. They're fed up. They're tired of, you know, going out and having your wife leered at and touched by Muslim men.
Yep.
Sick of it. Not to mention their 12-year-old daughters raped by Muslim men. It's happening by the thousands, maybe by the hundreds of thousands. Nobody knows. Because the people in charge, like Keir Starmer, is so afraid. Either this is what, again, it's either because he's so afraid to say anything about it because of the political ramifications, or he's in favor of it.
Right.
Because he wants to, he's using the Islamists as WEF global agenda foot soldiers, like the BLM is for the Democratic Party, like the DOJ is for the Democratic Party. So Tommy Robinson video here, two-tier Keir. Listen, on the left is him talking about the George Floyd riots, fully in support. And on the right, he's talking about the UK riots, which are English citizens, black, white, and everybody coming out and protesting about these three girls being stabbed to death. And now there's a counter protest going on. By the way, all of those guys going out and protesting about their little girl citizens, compatriots being stabbed to death, they're going out and protesting with empty hands.
Yep.
They're being counter protested by Muslims with knives and swords. And here comes Keir Starmer comes out in favor of the Muslims. Play for me, Brent.
Be in no doubt.
I was shocked.
Those that have participated in this violence,
the killing of George Floyd,
will face the full force
of the
law.
And the response
of the law.
President Trump,
the police,
and the US
will be making arrests.
To the peaceful
individuals
protests,
will be held
to people
on
rightly
remand.
Demanding justice.
Charges will follow.
Has been an affront to
and
humanity.
Convictions.
The last
follow.
Week has shone a spotlight.
I guarantee
on the racism,
you will regret taking part in this disorder
and injustice,
whether directly
experienced
or those,
by those
whipping
from
up
black
this
and
action
minority
online,
ethnic communities
and then
in the
running
US,
away themselves.
In the UK,
this is
and
not
across
protest.
The world.
It is organised, violent thuggery.
Injustice anywhere,
and it has no place.
By the way, I'm keeping my promise. Even though I threw down cuckboy, I said I wouldn't say it from the pulpit. This isn't the pulpit, just so you know. I'm not keeping my word. So again, right there with Keir Starmer, look at, he's like, I just appreciate and I support all the George Floyd protests. $2 billion worth of property burned to the freaking ground, 30 people murdered. He's all in favor of that. The protests in the UK by the UK citizens, let's just say the white males, the white male protesting the killing of their daughters, 3 9-year-old girls, by a Muslim border invader. They're just going out empty-handed. He's totally against them. They're not even hurting anybody. They're not attacking Muslims at all. Unless Muslims go and engage with them first. They're just going out and protesting. But he can't stand any of that because, A, he's scared of the political ramifications. You saw on the video that I played from Alex Jones, you had the MP on the parliamentary floor saying, can we at least discuss the Islamic faith? the Muslim faith without being called a racist, without being called a misogynist, without being called Islamophobic? Can we have a discussion about it? Aaron and I discuss Christianity all the time, and neither one of us are anti-Christian.
Right.
Can we discuss it? But you see, Keir Starmer is so afraid of being called, being labeled something, being called a name, losing his sort of political gravitas, losing his political status as an enlightened white male. I'm all tolerant. I'm all accommodating. Look at what a wonderful human being I am. Look at me, virtue signal.
Exactly.
Instead of actually dealing with the very fact that these protests are a result of, are a reaction to the stabbing of three of his citizens to death who are nine-year-old girls. And he's not concerned at all about the Islamic response to the protests, where they are coming with knives and swords and axes. None of the UK protesters are doing this. Aaron found the stats for me on Pakistanians. And again, this is where Gavin McGinnis was on Joe Rogan talking about this. 70% of Pakistanians are inbred. So what does that mean? You are having sex and having babies with your first cousins or your sisters.
Yep.
And that's why their IQs are lower. That's just the way it is. Doesn't mean there aren't brilliant Pakistanis. If white people, if 70% of Americans inbred, our IQs would be the same. Got nothing to do with color of skin or anything else. It has to do with culture. Why are they inbred? Because they want to grow their own population without co-mingling with the populations they're trying to take over. They'll co-mingle as long as it's a rape, but they won't co-mingle as far as marrying, marriages with the infidels. In Turkey, the percentage is 25%. 55% of Pakistani population of Britain are married to their first cousins. It's kind of a problem.
That's so gross.
When you're married to your dad's brother's daughter. Eek. Okay, that's what's happening. If you're wondering why, because you listen, a lot of times you are dealing with low IQ individuals. Remember World War I? Everybody that started World War I was an inbred. And they were all white, by the way. They're all a bunch of inbred royals marrying their cousins and having babies with their cousins. These are the people who rule the world, by the way. So just so you know, if you're wondering why there's so much violence, why won't people take Why won't Egypt take Gazans, Palestinians? Why won't they take Gazans? Egypt won't. Why won't Jordan take them? Why is there no open borders? Why is Joe Biden flying them into the United States of America? Remember the pier set up that's now washed away for $30 million? Remember that one? Why won't any of these countries take them? Because they're a bunch of, it's an inbred horde of violent people. So nobody will take them. You're like, Tom, this is sounding awfully racist. It's not racist. This is a statistical fact. 70% of Pakistanians are inbred. Turkey, 25%. 55% of the Pakistani population of Great Britain are married to their first cousins. How am I a racist? I would say the same thing if you're dealing with, if it was the Floridian population and we're all white, I would say the same thing if we were inbreeding. How am I a racist? Not, they'll call me that, but I'm not. Elon Musk tweet. Go to the next one for me, Brett. Elon Musk tweet.
Switch it back. Sorry.
Is that we should be on a tweet.
There we are.
Right there. All right. Elon Musk tweet. Shouldn't you be concerned about attacks on all communities? Keir Starmer. This is not protest. It's pure violence. He's talking about not Muslims, his own citizens. We will have a standing army of public duty officers. What about the millions of rapes? Where's your standing army for them? We will ramp up criminal justice. Why not for the stabbings that are absolutely epidemic portions inside of Sadiq Khan's London? Where's your standing army then? Where's your ramped up criminal justice system to deal with Muslim crime? There are areas of London that the police don't even go into anymore. They just have Sharia patrols. We will apply criminal law online. So if you say the wrong thing in the UK, you're going to prison, as well as offline. We will not tolerate attacks on mosques or any Muslim communities. I agree. There shouldn't be any violence. I agree. Unless you are having to defend yourself, there should be no violence. But where is all this amped up animus? Where is all this amped up need for criminal justice and protection for your own citizens, Keir. You're protecting the people who aren't even citizens of the UK. You're protecting the people who are illegal border invaders or people that you've allowed in as illegal border invaders. You're protecting them because you now have to defend your policies. You don't want to be called an Islamophobic person. You don't want the political ramifications of standing against Islamists because Islamists will call you names. I stand against the Islamic faith. I stand against Sharia law. I'm not afraid. If I can say that I stand against the Democratic Party, I can say I stand against the Islamic faith because I do.
Yep.
I stand against the Mormon faith.
Yep.
Jehovah's Witness faith. So the thing about them, though, is they're not walking around trying to institute a Mormon Sharia law. So they can go do what they want.
They're not violent.
If you want to institute a Sharia law, then listen, we can't coexist. They must be deported from the country. Andy No video, just in Birmingham, England. This is what's going on in England right now. I'm gonna rapid fire these videos just so you can see what's happening. Play for me, Brent.
Here to report, I don't stand or stand for any racism in any shape or way.
So if you're a UK citizen, you can do nothing. And there's going to be a severely upped criminal justice response. They're going to have an army of police. But if you want to stand around in the streets waving knives around, and imagine this, the absolute audacity of people who are allowed into the country via the generosity of the citizenry are now attacking the citizens that allow them in. That is the essence of Muslim invasion. They depend on your charity. They depend on your generosity. That you let them in and then they turn on you. It happens decade after decade, century after century. It's every Muslim invasion is just like this. And where is Keir Starmer's ire? Where is his rage against this? Not existent. Because if he espouses any rage towards this, there's political ramifications. He'll lose his standing in the globalist WEF realm. He won't be considered reasonable anymore. That's exactly how they get you to wear a mask and stand 6 feet apart. Because if you don't do that, you won't be considered tolerant or reasonable or compassionate. So you have to be compassionate about a bunch of people. Look at them waving knives. Where's the UK citizens doing anything like this? I mean, what if this was in America? No response by the police in the UK. No called upon response. The Keir Starmer is not calling for a response to any of this. He's calling for the arrest of his own citizens. I have to show you this one because it's pretty hysterical to watch news be victimized by their own ideology and wokeness video. Sky News abruptly cuts its live feed as a mob of migrants surrounds its reporter. Play for me, Brent.
Community leaders have been speaking to the police as well because...
Free Palestine! Free Palestine!
I think, apologies for the language you're hearing, but a sense of the anger, I think you can hear there.
Yeah, Katie, I think we... Becky, I apologise. We need to leave you there, and Becky, we'll have security there, and we will leave that, and I apologise once again for... the language.
To all the men that are watching, 830 people that are watching right now, there's, I don't know, half and half, whatever, 50%, 60% men, whatever it is, 40% men. To all the men that are watching, did you hear, again, I'm going to throw it down for the second time in this podcast, you hear that cuck boy's response? Hey, we're going to have to leave you there. That's your response? Not we're going to call the cops for you? Hey, we're going to send people to help you? We're going to leave you here. That's what the news anchor said. Look at what she's getting surrounded by. Those are all Islamists. Those are all Muslim illegal border invaders. She is being surrounded by them. And the anchor says, hey, sorry, there was profanity. We're going to leave you there. Leave her there. I mean, just imagine that you are so controlled by ideology that you are afraid to stand up as a man. You're so controlled. You are so afraid that you're going to be labeled something that you won't stand up as a man. He should have said, what do we need to do? This is an emergency. These are rapists. What are we going to do?
Yeah.
What do you do? We're going to have to leave you there. That's what he said. You're going to leave this girl there. Is that the way any of you men that are watching, is that how you'd be responding to this? Look at this. I mean, this is horrific. Why is everybody wearing a mask? Oh, that was all licensed. Mask wearing was licensed by the same people who let him in the country. See how it's all one? You can bring it back to me. See how it's all one agenda, one narrative, leverage you into one world commerce system with a singular access point? They are now covering all criminality because everybody can now lawfully wear a mask. So those exact same people that open the borders for these people are the ones who allow them to be masked. Radio Genoa video. Here we go. British police raid homes of British elderly people over comments. C-O-M-M-E-N-T-S, comments. Their homes are raided for comments deemed inappropriate on social media. So now the police in the UK are showing up because comments were made on Facebook. Play for me, Brent.
Okay, so...
what do you mean I can't have any alcohol?
Okay, well, I'll tell you. Okay, the time's 20 to 3, 1440. I'm arresting you on suspicion of improper use of the electronic communications network. I'm
just what?
127 of the Communications Act, okay? So you do not have to say that. That may harm your defence if you don't mention one question, something which you later are in court. Anything you do say may be given evidence. Do you understand that?
So I'm actually being arrested?
You're going to be arrested, okay?
Right.
Take that to the police station.
Right.
Okay, this is in relation to some comments that you've made on a Facebook page.
Okay. Oh, really? Oh, it's a Facebook crime, is it?
Okay.
Right.
So we need to ask you some questions about that.
Right.
Have you got anything in your pocket?
I've got my keys. Okay. Keys.
So, anyone who's been arrested, we can search them under Section 32 of the Peace and Commitment Act.
Right.
And that's for dangerous items.
You said I was going to be arrested under some what information? I'm going to be arrested for posting on Facebook.
Made some comments that are offensive, obscene, and people have made a complaint about that, and it's translated.
Can you tell me what this comment was?
We'll do that when we interview.
All right. And okay. So, what am I going to be locked up for the night, or?
Hopefully not.
Right, do I need to take my medications with me?
Yes, we will look at taking all of those.
When do you need to take them?
Well, I've got pain medications, I've got sleeping medication, I've got anxiety medications, which I might take one of those in a bit, okay. You know?
Well, if we take everything with us, then you've got everything there, haven't you?
And then we've got a nurse up there, they'll be able to...
Okay.
They'll be able to look at, come and see you, and then once you've been there, they can assess whether or not the medication can be issued. Alright, so what we're going to do is, if you want to pop yourself up, we're just going to...
Alright.
Search. You need the glasses.
Yeah, search you.
To come with you.
My glasses.
Yeah. Do you want to take them?
First of all, let me just address what I always address with this. As a former cop myself, 25 years right here where I'm sitting, Sarasota County, Florida, I cannot imagine being that sort of police officer where you are enforcing laws that are causing your country's destruction, where you are enforcing laws that will eventually turn on you, where you are enforcing laws from totalitarians, issued by totalitarians, legislated by totalitarians, you are going to, again, and you think that you're going to be spared. I was only following orders. I mean, you know, those two people there both look like they're in their early 30s. They know that they are arresting somebody for words and are gleefully doing so. I can't imagine being so uneducated that you don't understand that people who are on the side of censoring speech are always on the wrong side. And you are enforcing laws for those totalitarians. So you are, and a lot of them, well, I got to have a job. You are destroying the system that enables you to have a job by making that arrest. So you're like a Democratic police officer say, I'm making that arrest to save democracy. No, you're making the arrest that will destroy the very democracy that you're allegedly trying to save. You can't have a democracy where you can't put comments on Facebook that are quote unquote offensive. So they're arresting this guy for making offensive comments on Facebook. Well, what's offensive? Who is the arbiter of offensive? Who exactly is it? Because if people come out again, if I say I'm the president of the United States as a born-again Christian, then things that are against Jesus are offensive to me. So now I'm going to arrest everybody because they're offensive to me? So who deems what's offensive? Offensive to you, offensive to me, offensive to the left, offensive to the right, offensive to this community, offensive to that community, offensive to the medical community, against COVID, for COVID, whatever it may be. Who is it that deems something to be offensive? And as a police officer, you can't see. You are so wrapped up ideologically or so impulsive that you're just trying to protect your job that you're going to arrest people for comments on Facebook? And you think that that's a good thing? You think a lot of cops that get annoyed, you know, here I am just having to deal with these people breaking the law. Listen, you're arresting people for making comments. And you think that that's okay? What kind of person does that make you as a law enforcement officer that you're arresting people for comments? What kind of person does that make you? How do you not see that turning on you? How do you not see that destroying your country? Well, I have to have a job. So you're going to destroy your country so you have a job? Well, what kind of job are you going to have when there's no country? And I mean, you're like, Tom, you go off on this every time. I know. Because I mean, I can't ever imagine me. Is that I left Sarasota County Sheriff's Office 2017. I can't imagine knocking on somebody's door and going, excuse me, you're under arrest for making comments on Facebook. They didn't say he was orchestrating a terrorist event. They didn't say that he was posting pornography. He made an offensive statement and he's being arrested. I can't imagine being a cop and enforcing laws of little Hitlers. I mean, what are you doing? What kind of human does that make you? When you're enforcing laws from Adolf Hitler, even though you're quote unquote a cop, what kind of person are you? Ian Miles Chong video. This is the Red Cow Hotel. It's a migrant hotel in Dublin, Ireland, where nobody's allowed in except illegals. Play it for me.
Is this the entrance?
Sorry again?
Is this the entrance?
No.
Can I help you?
Is this the entrance to the hotel?
Yeah, the hotel is closed for the public.
I'm looking for the hotel room.
Yeah, it's closed for the public.
To the public? Why?
Yeah, it's closed, yeah. It's a government contract.
Is there not any other hotel around here?
I don't know anything. You have to look on the Google Maps or somewhere.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, thank you.
Where's the free hotel for the UK citizens? And we, of course, have the same exact thing going on here. We played the EBT card on, I guess it was Friday.
Friday, yeah.
Yeah, I'm lost now with the different days. But on Friday, EBT card for $13,000. Where's the free hotels for the American citizens? Where are the free hotels for the Irish citizens? I mean, explain to me how this works. I want to understand. I want to understand the mindset of the Prime Minister of the UK. I want to understand the mindset of the Prime Minister of Ireland. I want to understand it. I don't even know how to ask the question. How does this make sense to you that you are paying for the housing of illegals, but not your own citizens? How does that make sense to anybody? I don't even know how to ask the question because it's so nonsensical. And as always, if it's nonsensical and illogical, it's nefarious. Are they doing this to stage a coup? Are they doing this to stage a takeover, a conquering of a country? If you're allowing in 17 million undocumented migrants into the United States of America in 4 years, what are your motivations? We know one of them is for votes, and I've got a whole thing on illegal let me just read you this real quick from George on Twitter. Follow George on Twitter. Shocking. Election fraud researcher and former California lawmaker Steve Baldwin reveals that voter rolls in swing states are full of illegal voters and ghost names. Migrant processing facilities also appear as some voters' addresses. What we have found is that some of the voter rolls in swing states are chock full of illegal aliens and other people who should not be on the voter rolls. And what they're finding is thousands of people registered to the same address. They're all illegals. That's part of the motivation. It's a takeover. We all need to stand. And the good thing is some of this is being legislated. Some of it's not. If enough is not if there's not enough legislated, we're going to lose this election. Even though we won.
Yep.
You'll be like, well, they'll all find out that they were illegals that voted and overturn it. They'll never overturn it once it's certified.
Yep.
And there's no time to find out between the day of voting and the certification who was legal and who wasn't. It has to be figured out now. All right, that's it. 42 minutes into overtime. Sorry about the little power outage. You did pretty good. Bounce back with still over 800 people on. Listen, I'm going to tell you, I know I've said this many times. I'll be around talking to everybody in the chat. Let me say hi to people in the chat real quick before we leave. But I'll be in the chat during the post game. I've said this many times. This is one of the greatest post games ever. Seriously, one of the greatest post games ever. You got to stick around for it. It's not that long. Stick around. It's great. But you got to see it. It's really, really good. But I love y'all. Appreciate each and every one of you. I really do. We just need to stick to what we're doing. Let's get the word out. Get as many people to vote as you possibly can because we're going to have to overcome the cheat. All right, I love y'all. Back here tomorrow night, 9 o'clock. I'll see you in the chat. Stick around for the post game. God bless you. That if you did what God wanted you to do every day for years, you would never see your prayers go unanswered. And I mean specifically. I don't mean, well, yeah, they were answered, but it really wasn't what I wanted, so I'm getting the deep meaning out of it. No! I'm talking about specifically what you want. If you did what you're supposed to do every day for years, they would get all of your prayer requests and all the answers would get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger just sitting under the Word of God. There's nobody, I tried that. You didn't try it but for a week. You didn't try it but for a month. You didn't try it but for a year. You go to anybody who's done it year after year after year. They, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, never stumble. Never.
If you enjoyed watching the Tom Lipley podcast, please consider investing in our program. Go to tomlipley.com, and donate $25 or more, and we will send you this TLP mug warmer. We look forward to you tuning in next week, and thank you for giving.